Father, as always, I thank you. I say it all the time because it means so much to me that the entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. As that word comes into our minds today, let it illuminate our hearts and our minds and our spirit. Let it give us also understanding concerning what the Spirit of God is saying to us in this hour. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today's lesson, getting right into it, is the benefits of consecrated fasting. That's what we're going to be talking about. Now, fasting is a subject that is not popular anymore. You know, especially in this great United States, people don't like to fast because there's so much food and so on. People would rather eat and drink, you know, and party and all of that. But fasting, oh no. You know, but Jesus warned us. He said, look, take heed, you know, take heed to yourselves. Don't let your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, because some people, I mean, that would be a serious tragedy if people would miss the rapture because of surfeiting and drunkenness. Well, let's take a look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, as Jesus was admonishing the disciples about the end times. You know, so here's one thing he said here. Take heed to yourselves. Luke 21 and 34. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Wow. You know. And what will happen? And that day, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. That's not a good place to be. So Jesus warned against surfeiting and drunkenness. He warned us about that. Praise the Lord. You know, and he said, look, anytime it is possible, if you are not careful, if you don't take heed, it is actually quite possible that your hearts will be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. That's partying. Just eating all the time. You know, and that cares of this life. So there are three things he's talking about there. Surfeiting, drunkenness, you know, I mean, just doing, carrying on and so forth, you know, and the cares of this life until the day come upon people unawares. Now, that's a serious tragedy, you know, and all of us fall into that, you know, snare when we are not paying attention. Say, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. The snare that shall come to pass. It's happening already. You know, there's a snare of surfeiting, the snare of drunkenness, the snare of, well, you know, just going about the business, you know, in the days of Noah, they were going about their business, you know, nobody seemed to care. There was no urgency about the things that God was saying. Well, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and some of them were laughing about, you know, laughing at him and so forth. But nobody was laughing when God shut that door. Because the flood came and took them all away. Now, you know, there is a call right now. It's called a call to a solemn assembly. Hallelujah. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, talking about, and I want to read some of it today, you know, and see what the Lord is saying to us, you know, today about the way that he wants us to consecrate. Now, that consecration is what I am going to be talking about today. Praise the Lord. Consecration. In the book of Joel, you know, chapter 2 and verse 15, we're told, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly even. That's right. You know, what's a solemn assembly? It's not a day of surfeiting and feasting and, you know, carrying on. No. It's a day of solemnity. A solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. And those that suck the breast. You know, nobody is left out. You know, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber. You know, don't say, well, you know, I just married a wife. You know, forget that one right now. And let the bride come out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. Hallelujah. You know, that why should the heathen reign over your people? Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Now, when things are not going our way, you know, and there are times when we need to repent. And there are also times when we need to cry to God for a visitation. All of these things, you know, call for a solemn assembly and sometimes fasting and prayer. And next week is going to be a convocation week. All week long, you will do as you are able. Listen to this. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, you all know this scripture. Jesus had just visited the mount that we call Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples. And when they came back down, something else was happening. Someone had brought their child to the others to cast out the demon that was troubling him. But the disciples couldn't do it. You know, and came to Jesus and said, Lord, you know, I brought them. They could not cast them out, you know, and Jesus rebuked the devil and cast him out. But before he did, he rebuked the disciples first. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, Matthew 17 and 17. You know, when the man said, look, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Now, he's talking to his disciples now. He's not just talking to the Jews that didn't believe him. You know, bring him hither to me. Then Jesus rebuked the devil, and the child was cured from that very hour. But first, he rebuked the disciples. So the disciples came and said to him after everybody had left, they said to him, you know, privately, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said two things. Number one, because of your unbelief. That's why Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. So actually, when we are not exhibiting faith, the Lord sees us as faithless and perverse. That's right. You know, and he said, look, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains, you know. But he said, look, before you move mountains and anything, he said, look, anything, nothing shall be impossible unto you if you have the right kind of faith. But there are certain kinds, he went on to say in Matthew 17 and 21, how be it? This kind, what kind? Well, he was talking about, you know, this devil that was throwing this boy, cast him into the fire and doing all of these things and wouldn't turn him loose. I wanted to kill the child. And he said, look, you know, some of these kind of things, they cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, remember, the disciples didn't like to fast. They liked to eat. And the Pharisees would accuse Jesus. Why do the disciples, I mean, Jews accuse him, why do the disciples or the Pharisees fast? And even the disciples of John, why do they all fast? But your own disciples are always eating. You know. And then Jesus was all actually defending them. You know, so, you know, he said, look, can the, can the children of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? No. And he said, but the days are coming, saith the Lord, when they would fast in those days. So let's read that from Matthew chapter 9. It's in a couple of different places, but let's just read this one in Matthew chapter 9. You know, when the disciples, when they came to him in verse 14, they came to him, then the disciples of John say, why do we fast? And the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples fast not. This time around, in this particular place, was the disciples of John asking. And so Jesus was defending the fact that his disciples were not fasting. And he said, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? No. They will be celebrating. He said, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Huh. Wow. Well, you know, there are too many, a couple of different places where the same thing is written. In Mark chapter 2, verse 18, it's there. In Luke chapter 5, it's there as well. Let me turn to the one in Luke chapter 5 again and read it from verse 33. You know, they asked him this question. You know, he said, look, why do the disciples of John fast often? So in this place, it seemed as if some people were asking. In the other places, it seemed as if it was disciples of John themselves asking. But in any case, they asked. Disciples of John fast. The disciples of Pharisees fast. But your own, they eat and drink. And Jesus was explaining the same thing to them. Well, he said, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days. Ladies and gentlemen, the bridegroom is not here. And we should be fasting and praying. But are we really, you know, we're consumed with so much, you know, people just don't like it to fast. The body hates it too. But we're going to look at the benefits of it. You know, in Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, Jesus actually explains, you know, how to do the fasting properly. He didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. You know, so, you know, this is something that should be a practice. We should be fasting. You know, it's not the time for you to look morose and everything so that everybody will know that you are fasting. And then, you know, Jesus says you have your reward. Well, that's individual fasting. Corporate fasting or consecrated fasting, everybody knows that everybody is fasting, you know, so. But if you fast on your own, because we're not all physically together, even though it's consecrated corporate fasting, you're still by yourself in your, on your job, places where you go, and so on. Then we come together on this platform and pray and share the word of God. Then you go into the day again. So when you go about your day, they say, look, appear not unto men to fast. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. You know, don't carry a long face. Don't make it look like you are tired. So everybody say, oh, they are fasting. You know, then, well, he said, look, if you do that, you know, if you do it so that you can be seen of men, then you have your reward. But if you do it unto God, then the Father is going to bless you. So let's look at some of the, why do we call it consecrated fasting? Well, consecrated fasting is described in Isaiah chapter 58. I mean, you can fast and it doesn't necessarily need to be consecrated. I mean, anytime that you are skipping meals, that's fasting. But, you know, anybody can fast, whether you're a believer or not. And even believers can fast without being consecrated. You just skip meals and so on. You fast. Fasting has even natural benefits, whether it's consecrated fasting or not. But consecrated fasting is dedicated to prayer. It's not just about missing meals. You know, there is, of course, you skip the meals, but you focus not on the meals. You are focused on the things that you are bringing before God. You know, it could be for deliverance. It could be for, repentance. It could be confession of sins. It could be any number of things, you know, but, you know, it has to be accompanied with the studying of the word of God and prayer. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 58. The Lord is challenging the people. He says, these people, they cry unto me and say, wherefore have we fasted and thou seest not? He said, these people, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways, you know, and so on. You know, and they ask of me ordinances of justice. And, you know, they look like they are people that want to approach unto God. You know, that describes us perfectly. You know, but listen to this. Wherefore have we fasted, and they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? So they are fasting, you know, but their fasting is not producing the right results. And God answered, I said, well, in the day of your fast, you're going about finding pleasure, you're doing all your labors and so forth. Let me explain that, because this is very hard to do. You know, it's very hard to fast, and especially if you're going to have, you know, any type of long fast without being exposed to other things. The ideal kind of fasting is you cut away from everybody. You lock yourself up, get a jug of water and so on. And you just, you know, fall on your face before the Lord all day long, every day, day after day. Well, that's the ideal, but that's not always practical. You got to still go to work. You got to, if you wait until the day that you are not going to do anything, then you are not going to fast. And some people stumble at this scripture. They say, well, you say exact all your labors. So that means I can't be fasting when I'm working. I can't be fasting when I'm doing anything else. Well, you know, this is the ideal situation. You know, God is just telling them, you know, here are some things because, you know, your mind was not on the fasting. Your mind was on all these other things. That's why, your fasting is not producing results. You can fast whether you're going to work or not. In fact, you know, if you don't fast when you're going to work, you know, then, if you say, well, I can't fast because I'm going to work, then your work has become, you know, a higher priority than your fasting life. So nothing should be a higher priority than our prayer and fasting life. You know, when the devil is able to take away from you your prayer and your fasting life, then you're finished, you know. And any people of God that the devil is able to take their prayer and fasting life away, they are already defeated. They become powerless. Jesus himself, I mean, before he did anything, you know, he went and fasted for 40 days and all of that in the wilderness, himself alone. I mean, if Jesus had to do that just because he was a man that put on the human nature, you know, and he had to do all of that, and yet inside of him was the very essence of the living God, and he still had to do that, then how much more us? Now, we don't have to fast for 40 days. I mean, actually, how many people can do that? But whatever the strength that you have, you know, you should do it, you know, often too. You know, Paul said we approve ourselves in many things, in hunger and thirst and in fastings often. So hunger and thirst is different from fasting. You know, the real consecrated fasting. Hunger and thirst, he just didn't have food. You know, sometimes, you know, they just didn't have food. You know, that wasn't really a consecrated fast. But fast is you have food and you have the pleasure and everything you could do, but you deny yourself of those things in order to bring yourself before the Lord. And he said, look, when you fast, he said, some of you actually fast and you're still striving and you're still debating, you're still smiting with the feast of wickedness and all of that. He said, look, when you fast like all those things, you're still carrying on, you know, all of the, you still allow, you know, all the little foxes that spoil the vine to still be there, the bitterness, the strife, the envy, the unforgiveness, all of these things. When you fast and all of these things are still there, then he said, look, that's not your voice will not be heard. He said, this is not the kind of fast that will make your voice to be heard on high. You know, Isaiah 54 verse 8. So the purpose of fasting is for our voice to be heard on high when we do it right. It's for us to get heaven's attention. You know, that's the real purpose of consecrated fasting. Get heaven's attention. You know, get heaven to move. If you do it right. Now, is this not a fast that I have chosen? You know, he said, look, or rather first he said, is this a fast that I have chosen? A day to afflict your soul, put your head down, put sackcloth, put ashes and so forth, which is how they used to fast in those days. Is that all that you need to do in order to call it an acceptable fast on the Lord? But look at the fast that he says you are chosen. And here are the things that must be happening. And this is really the target of our fasting. There are four specific areas, you know, that we need to do when we are fasting. And we're going to do this. We're going to cover these things when we do our convocation week next week. He said, look, loosing the bands of wickedness. That's number one. Undoing the heavy burdens. That's number two. Setting the oppressed free. That's number three. And breaking every yoke. That's number four. And even dealing your bread to the hungry and so forth, helping the poor, you know, clothing the naked. I mean, doing charitable works of charity. That's good. But spiritually, you know, we are loosing the bands of wickedness. We are undoing heavy burdens. We are setting the oppressed free and we are breaking every yoke. And that's what we do with consecrated fasting. You know, now let's look at how fasting has brought, this kind of consecrated fast has brought great deliverances to people. And then I'm going to come back and read some more benefits here in this Isaiah 58. But let's look at some stories first. The story of Jonah, chapter 3. I mean, you may know the whole story of Jonah, how the Lord wanted him to go and preach the city of Nineveh, and he didn't want to do it because those people were really wicked and he didn't want any part of them, and he fled from the presence of the Lord, on and on and on. So you know the story. But in chapter 3, we see that, you know, finally, when he preached, went about a day's journey inside that great city, and he actually preached, well, you know, now Jonah didn't actually preach with compassion. But he preached with indignation. Yet 40 days, he said, and this city shall be overthrown. Well, nevertheless, you know, God used that, you know, to challenge the people. And as he began to pray, as he began to preach, the Bible says that the people of Nineveh believed God. This is Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5. And proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And it was from, this commandment was from the king. The king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, threw away his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh. Now, isn't that wonderful when you have a, you know, natural leader of the people that also in times of crisis becomes a spiritual leader? There was a crisis. There was judgment proclaimed against the place. It became a crisis. The king became the leader spiritually. And he began to command everybody. He published it throughout Nineveh by decree. He said, leader, neither man nor beast, in verse 7, neither herd nor flock, taste anything. This man, I mean, he's not messing around. He's not playing. I mean, he's not only going to make people fast. He's going to make all their flocks, everything going to fast. Have you ever heard of such a thing? He said, yeah. Don't even feed your flock. Don't feed anything. Don't feed them. Let them not feed. Let them not drink water. Even you, don't drink. Don't eat. Your children, everybody. You know? And they began to turn their hearts unto the Lord and cry mightily unto God. You know? He said, look, let everybody cry mightily unto God. Turn everyone from his wicked way and get away the violence that's in your hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? You know, and this is what consecrated fasting is. It's not only, corporate, is crying out to God. You know, he commanded that people, they all cried out to God, no one left behind. And immediately, Bible said that God heard. You know, he saw how they turned from their wicked ways, and God repented of the judgment that he was going to bring unto them. Now, that's powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Powerful stuff. Now, we see a story in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 25 to about 29. This is the story of Ahab. I've said this before. This man was wicked beyond any other kings, you know, of Israel at that time. And God sent Elijah to pronounce certain judgments against him. And after the man heard all of the pronunciation, I mean, this man was so wicked. He was wicked alone by himself. And then his wife, Jezebel, you know, added more to it and spurred him on to do even more wickedness. So take, the people like Naboth and kill them and so forth, take his vineyard and all of that, you know, and this man just did wickedly. He practiced wickedness. You know, there was none like him, wicked in all the abominations and the crazy things that he did, you know, and so on. And, but let's pick up this story. You know, now Elijah had gone to this man and said to him, Elijah found him, and Ahab asked him and said, has thou found me, O mine enemy? And he said, yes, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, Elijah began to bring the judgment. 1 Kings 21:21. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. That means every man. I'm going to cut off. And men were supposed to be the ones that carried on the lineage, you know. And he said, look, I'm going to cut them off, you know, and so on and so forth. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, you know, the house of Nebat. You will make your house like house of Baasha, of Ahijah, you know, and all of these things. Because you have provoked me, all the evil. You made all Israel to sin, you know. And of Jezebel, the Lord said, you know, dog shall eat the Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And he that dieth of Ahab in the city, dog shall eat, and then so forth. I mean, your pronunciation upon him. And then the Bible says in verse 25, but there was none like unto Ahab that did sell himself to walk wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up, and he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things that the Amorites and everything that the Lord hated, which he cast out before the children of Israel. Ahab did all these things. But it came to pass. See, this is the beautiful thing about consecrated fasting. It came to pass that when Ahab heard all the words that Elijah pronounced against him, he rent his clothes. I mean, you know, who would have thought? This man, this wicked man, he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth upon his flesh. He fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went softly. He trembled at the word of God, and he added fasting to it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, see how this now Ahab has humbled himself before me. My goodness, even the Lord himself was surprised. He said, this wicked Ahab humbled himself before me like this. And the Lord said, look, because he has humbled himself like this, I will not bring this. I'm still going to bring this evil, but I won't do it in his days. I'm going to be giving the lengthening of his tranquility. I'm going to push it down the road a little bit, you know, and I won't bring it in his generation. I mean, his own days, I'll move it down, you know. And the Lord spared him. See how he consecrated himself before the Lord, you know. Consecration adds humility, repentance, and, you know, trembling at the word of God. It adds that to fasting. If those things are not there, then fasting is just missing a meal, you know. But when you put all these other things to it, when you fall on your face before the Lord, when you put away the accusing finger and so forth, and you put away iniquity and all that, then tremendous blessings follow. And I'm going to come to that at the close of this lesson. But let's read, you know, a few more stories. In the book of Esther, chapter 4, from verses 13 through about 16, you know the story of Haman that wanted to kill not only Mordecai, but also all the Jews, just because Mordecai wouldn't do him obeisance and wouldn't bow before him. And when Mordecai told Esther at that time was queen, she had found favor. And Mordecai said, look, you know, give her instruction and so forth. At first, Esther was saying, well, I can't just go before the king, because if the king, you know, doesn't call me and I go, I can lose my life. And Mordecai said, look, if you think that just because you're in the palace, you're going to escape, you get another thing coming. If you don't do this, you know, you will perish like everybody else. But God may raise somebody else. And how do we know that God hasn't set you here for such a time as this? So after Mordecai talked to her like that, you know, well, she made up her mind. She said, okay, you know, that's what we're going to do. Go, you know, and gather the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. This is Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Now, these people, their own fasting was actually dry fasting. Now, dry fasting, you know, is dangerous if it goes for many days. You need water to cleanse the system. But these people, in 3 days, you can still do it without any harm. You know, but these people, they would not, I mean, say, don't fast, I mean, don't eat, don't drink, don't fast for me and so forth. And I'm going before the king, and if I perish, I perish. You've heard that famous statement, you know, and they fasted, they prayed, everybody, you know. Mordecai went, he did, and told all the Jews, they all fasted and prayed, and God gave Esther favor. When she went before the king stretched out his golden scepter to her, and God turned the tables because of their fasting. Glory to God. Fasting and prayer. Well, let's read the story in Nehemiah chapter 9. And you're going to see, you know, some of these other things, you know, how people, you know, during fasting, they also read the word of the Lord. You know, hear the word of God. Don't just be locked up somewhere alone. You know, when you do consecrated fasting, here's how they did in the days of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Now, in the 20th and 4th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloth and earth upon their heads. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. You know, that's also consecration. Consecration is the same thing as sanctification. Setting yourself apart from anything that defileth. You know, and they stood and confessed their sins. So that's a part of consecrated fasting. Confession of sins. Lord, we have sinned. Our fathers have sinned. That's why all this evil came upon us. That's how Daniel also prayed. They prayed and they consecrate and they confess their sins. And they stood in their place. Now, listen to this. Let's see how much time they spent in hearing the word of the Lord during their fasting. You know, so, you know, when we call for the convocation week next week, come and hear the word of the Lord like these people did. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3. They stood in their place and read in the book of the law, their God, 1/4 of the day. Now, their day was 12 hours. That's how they counted their day. So for 3 hours, 1/4 of the day, they listened to the word of God. You know, and for another 3 hours, they confessed and prayed and worshiped the Lord. Now, my goodness, they devoted 6 hours to just coming, 3 hours to hearing the word, 3 hours to confessing and praying. My goodness. You know, that's consecration and that's consecrated fasting. And if people know how to do it right, well, let's go and see the benefits. And of course, I mean, there was a lot of things, you know, how they prayed here, you know, how they called upon the Lord and said to him, "Thou, O Lord, our God alone, you have made the heaven, even the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all the things that they are in, the seas, and everything. And thou preservest all, and the hosts of heaven worship you. You are the God that chose Abraham, that brought him out of the land of the Chaldeans. I mean, Chaldeans, and gave, you know, him the name of Abraham. You know, and you found his heart to be faithful." I mean, they just went on and on. They reminded God of all the things. They said, "Look, you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. You heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh," and all this. Look, when you're praying, that's the kind of prayer during fasting that you should be doing. Reminding God of how great he is and all the things you have done. And some of you already know how to do those prayers, but we've been talking about it for a long time in this room. Making the fight about God getting the glory. Telling him how great he is. Making him realize that his name and his reputation is at stake. Reminding him of all the great things that he has done. You know, and they went on and on. They told how God did great things and so forth. And, you know, they just went on and on and on and on. You know, and I tell you what, all those prayers, they even prayed out, you know, you should read that Nehemiah chapter 9, all of it is powerful. And how they God delivered all the people that were in front of them, trying to dispossess them. I mean, trying to prevent them from entering the promised land. God dispossessed all of them and gave the land to, and they took the land to the children of Israel. And they remembered these things and reminded God of the same. And now they say, "Now therefore our God." Now after you've told God all those things, "Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God." Hallelujah. That's verse 32. "Who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble, you know, seem little before thee that has come upon us." They're telling God, "Look, you know, tremendous things have come upon us. You know, look upon us and be gracious unto us. You know, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, on all thy people." Now, this is consecrated fasting prayer. You know, this is how you pray. Pray for everybody. Pray for your leadership. Pray for the families. Pray for the men. Pray for the women. Pray for the children. Pray for our finances. I mean, you pray for everything. Pray for our health, you know, and so forth. You know, and he said, "Look, we know that we have not served you. We have not done all these things, you know, but today, we present ourselves as your servants. We are your servants this day. And the land you gave to us," and so forth. And, you know, I mean, we just prayed their hearts out. You know, this is how you do consecrated fasting. It's not just missing meals. Missing meals without reading the word, without praying, without confessing, and all of those things, that's not enough. So you've got to mingle everything together. Hallelujah. And the Lord, of course, restored unto them many things at that time. You know, Jerusalem was restored, the temple was laid, built, foundation and everything. And great joy came eventually upon the people. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 58 and read some more promises of what God will do when we do the fasting right before the Lord. And here's all the things that he said he would do for us. You know, when we do the fasting right, let's pick it up from verse 8. Then, Isaiah 58 verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Now, are you sitting in darkness at the moment? You know, Isaiah 50 and verse 10, he says, is there any one of you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and yet sits in darkness and has no light? What should he do? Well, let him stay upon the Lord his God. Let him go into consecrated prayer and fasting. That's right. You know, that's what James also said. When you are troubled, when you are depressed, when you are sad, pray. And I add also fast and pray. Because people don't like the subject of fasting. The body doesn't like it. But we got to put that body under. Put that flesh on fire of the altar. The flesh hates God. And God hates the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other. They're always fighting. Your spirit wants to do it. Your flesh says no. The spirit is willing. Flesh can't do it. But when you put that flesh in its place, and say, not today. No, not today. We're not doing any of that stuff. We're staying away from the kitchen today. Today, we are fasting. That's right. You heard me right. We are fasting today. You tell your flesh. And if I say, oh, let's go take a little orange juice or this, and I say, no, not today. Tomorrow maybe, but not today. Glory to God. You put your flesh in its place. That's right. And then he says, then will your light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall speed forth speedily. I mean, that alone is worth the price of it. You know, we're being told here that if you do this fasting right, here are the things that will happen. Your light, remember, Isaiah chapter 60, you say, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Now, when you are sitting in obscurity, when it seems as if the voice of God is not heard, when it feels that your days decline and feel like the shadow, when you feel like a, you know, pelican in the, you know, desert, an owl in the wilderness, a sparrow on top of the housetop, when you feel that all alone and the voice of God is so far away and you don't seem to hear anything, that's when you fast and you pray. And when you do that, he says, thy light will break forth. God's coming back to you in that light. Glory to God. Your health even is going to break forth speedily. Hallelujah. Your health will spring forth. Now, you know, scientists will even tell you, you know, that some light fasting, eating lightly and all these things is good for the body. Mingle that with, you know, proper diet and everything causes your health, you know, to spring forth. But here is a promise, point blank, from the Lord. You know, science or not, when you fast and pray, God promises your health will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of God shall be your real reward. I mean, God will go before you. God will cover you with his glory and everything. Isn't that enough motivation to want to fast and to pray? My goodness. And listen to that, as if that's not enough. Then shall thou call. Remember, he told them, how will you cause your voice to be heard on high? Well, you do this fasting right. Say, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Now, if you've been praying and the Lord's not answering, kick it into gear with praises. We covered that the other day. Today, I'm adding consecrated fasting to that as well. You know, call upon the Lord, he said, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and the Lord will say, here I am. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful for you to be able to call on God and for God to respond? Now, usually it's God that calls and we respond, you know. God will call Isaiah and Isaiah will say, here I am. God will call Samuel and say, here I am. God will call all these people, Jeremiah, and everything. They better say, here I am. Now, you can turn that around. With your prayer and your fasting, you can cause your voice to be heard on high. And then make God to respond when you call. Now, but he said, here are some things that you must do. take away from the midst of the yoke, you know, all these things that we say we're going to break. We'll be dealing with those next week. And the putting forth of their finger, accusations, you know, and so forth. You know, when you point the finger, some people have said that when you point one finger, four fingers are pointing back at you, or at least three are pointing back at you. So don't point the finger. Put all these things away. Speaking of vanity and things that are, you know, that you don't even know about, putting your thing into what doesn't concern you, you know, don't do all of that, you know. But at the same time, reach out to those who are hungry, you know, help the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity. Huh? You're coming out of that obscurity, saith the Lord. And thy darkness will be as in noonday. If your darkness is as in noonday, then what would your noonday be like? It will be like the brightness of the sun. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Glory to God. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Yeah, when you do this consecrated fasting, and he will satisfy thy soul in drought. You know, even if there may be drought and shortages around and so forth, the Lord will satisfy you. He will make, rather than your bones being dry from the fasting, he will actually make your bones to be fat. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now, these things are elements, you know, poetry in business here. I mean, this is great, you know, because look, normally when you fast, if you fast for a long time, you might become emaciated and all of that. You know, you start to lose flesh. But the Lord is saying, look, I'm going to bring that back. You're going to look good. you know, you're going to feel good even, you know, like a spring of water. You will be watered. You will flourish like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And more blessings are coming. They that shall be of thee, you know, well, people around you, your children, your grandchildren, those that are associated, people of, you know, and your circle of influence, they shall even arise and be strong. They will build the old waste places. Thou yourself shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Hallelujah. Your children's children and children. Glory to God. You know, blessings are coming to them through your fasting. And God said, you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwelling. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, not said. When I read these things, I say, Lord, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. For my wife, for my children, for my grandchildren, for the brethren. And, you know, and sometimes I'll just take time out and fast and pray, you know, because, you know, I want these things to be, because this is what the Lord said. I want to be called the restorer of paths to dwell in. Hallelujah. You know, I want to be someone that's used to bring back people to the paths of righteousness. Glory to God. Now, you know, many other things he said, you know, look, when you honor the Lord, you honor his presence. We've talked about, you know, some last year when we did the book of Hebrews, we covered what the real Sabbath is, which is the rest in the Holy Spirit. When you do that, you know, he says, look, God himself, you know, will honor you. When you refrain from doing all of these things in the Sabbath, during the time. Now, Sabbath is a day of rest. It's not a day of going to church service. We are really the church, you know. So Sabbath, you know, when you take time out, if you can do it right, and I've already said that sometimes you have to go to work, we understand that. But if you can get away from all of that, there's even a tremendous blessing, even much more so. And when you say, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. God will promote you. Hallelujah. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I mean, there's so much. I can take 3 weeks just to talk on all of these blessings. But I'm packing it all into just this 1 hour, you know, as an introduction to the benefits of consecrated fasting. Great rewards are there for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, next week, And I've posted this on our WhatsApp platform. I've also posted it as a note on the Walking with God and House of Faith. If you go into those houses, it's now posted that we need to consecrate ourselves. And here are some lessons, you know, during consecration. Some things to look forward to. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And this was a famous scripture with us in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, when we were believing God for an outpouring. We were always quoting these scriptures. Also, Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So shall the Lord make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. I mean, these are things that these are scriptures that we use during consecration to call upon the name of the Lord. Also, Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath turned and he will heal us. He has smitten and now he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So 1 day, 2 days, like 2,000 years. In the third day, it's like 1,000 years. You know, in the millennium, since the Lord came, it's been almost a little more than 2,000 years, but some time of grace. And in that one night, in the third day, we shall live in his sight. But to get there, we consecrate ourselves. Now, prophetic things. And the Lord said, look, I will restore, you know, and I will visit you. That's a promise. When the Lord told them to call and sanctify that fast in Joel, he also gave them a promise that he will restore. I will restore, saith the Lord, the years that the cankerworm has eaten, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmer worm. The great army, the Lord said, that I even commanded them to go among you because of your stiff-neckedness. But I will restore to you everything that the enemy has taken. Well, all of these things, you know, is for how we get a hold of the Lord. Hallelujah. The brightness of the sun, that's how our light shall be. When your noonday and when your darkness is like the noonday, then your day will be as the brightness of the sun. Hallelujah. The closer to my appearance, the more perfect you will be. Hallelujah. And God said, I will engulf you with my love. Hallelujah. I want you to just take a minute and pray. Hallelujah. Pray and ask the Lord for grace and for strength. The Lord said, behold, I will restore. Glory to God. Behold, I will restore. Say the Lord, the closer my appearance, the more perfect you will be. Behold, I will restore, say the Lord, the closer my appearance, the more perfect you be. My own shall receive full measure of peace and righteousness, and will be covered with my love as the brightness of the sun. Behold, I will restore. Oh, sayeth the Lord, the closer to my appearance, the more perfect you will be. Behold, I will restore, sayeth the Lord, the closer my appearance, the more perfect you will be. My own shall receive full measure of faith, of peace, of love, of righteousness, and they will be covered with my love as a brightness of the sun. As a prophecy given by Neil Frisbee years ago, we converted that to song. It's called a spiritual song, and we use it to encourage ourselves. My goodness. My people shall be covered with my love as a brightness of the sun. Glory to God. I'm going to pray over the room right now. Remember, next week, God willing, it's a convocation week, all week long. Now that means you join us. God gives you grace and strength. Beginning from Monday all through to the Sunday. Monday, and I posted that announcement. Those of you who are on WhatsApp, you can see it there on our WhatsApp platform. It's there now. And you can see it. Convocation week next week, starting Monday, August 28th, all the way through September 3rd, Sunday. And you take as much time as you can. You take any one of those days. If you can do one or two or three or more, do it. If you can do daily, do it. Whatever you can do. But we do it together. Together is what brings, you know, that power. Being in singleness of heart, oneness of purpose, and, you know, being obedient to the faith. When we say do this and we do it together, God will also respond in kind. So that's going to be all next week. It'll be a convocation week. And when you come into these rooms next week, come expecting, you know, a download of power. Because God will answer us back in the secret place of thunder. That's what he said. Call upon me. Psalm 81 and verse 7. You know, and I will answer you back. And there is a way that God answers back. It's powerful. You know, thunderous. You know, David knew how, figured out how to do it. And we will figure it out too also. We will cause our voices to be heard on high. He will answer us in the secret place of thunder. Father, I pray for grace and strength for all your people. And let the voices of the flesh be drowned by the voice of the Spirit. When the flesh says, you can't do that, let the Spirit of God in you rise up and say, yeah, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. May we learn to submit ourselves to the word of his grace and submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, he said, and in due time, he will lift you up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.